than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it is that time of year again. Ho, ho, ho. The Ravens are going to Pittsburgh, and it is week, It's the sequel. It's the second time these two behemoth teams are meeting. The Ravens versus the Steelers. It is Steelers Hate Week. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Yeah, man, Steeler Hate Week, Purple Friday, one of my favorite weeks. I've been at it all week, man. How are you?
I'm feeling good. The Ravens are ready to go, and it's going to be another classic. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna withdraw that. I don't know if this game's going to be a classic, because we're going to cover a lot of stuff in this episode. Of course, the Steelers are all over the news right now with the injury to Ryan Shazier. But let's talk about the shortened week the Steelers had. That game last Monday, my God, that was a hard-hitting, that was a nasty game to watch. There was, it was football, but boy, were there some big hits and some nasty injuries. And I'm going to start off by saying I don't think this is going to be a Ravens-Steelers classic because of what happened last Monday up against the Bengals and the Steelers, because I think the refs, they are going to call every single little thing that happens because they don't want a repeat of what they saw on Monday, because on Tuesday morning the NFL was all over the news about how brutal this game is. I think the referees are going to be very conservative when it comes to these two teams because, like us, they know the history.
Well, you bring up a good point, but I would actually have to disagree with you there, only because of the sake that it is Steelers-Bengals, and that's the type of game it's been. If you look at the playoff game, if you look at this past Monday night, of course, it was gruesome, dude. I mean, hit after hit. I mean, I think the Bengals had almost 200 yards in penalties, you know, if memory serves correctly. It was atrocious. We'll touch on all points, including all the injuries. We'll touch on the game, and then we'll get the most important thing about Shazier's update. But going about the game itself and how it's going to be policed on Sunday night, Ben Roethlisberger came out and kind of alluded to it when he was asked about what's the difference between Ravens Steelers and Steelers Bengals, and he said it's almost the same. It is the same, except you take the respect out of it when the Bengals are playing. There's a respect factor with the Ravens. We know this game's going to be physical. I wouldn't say it's not going to be, but Ben Roethlisberger also alluded to, it's typical of AFC North football. It's not to be dismissed. I'm not going to sit there and excuse a division win, but we are in that slobber knocker division, dude. I mean, it's you know, excusing of the Browns, if the Ravens, Steelers, and Bengals, those are three teams get after it, man. They hit. Perfect's been known for the, you know, vicious hits and flag form and fine form. excuse me, Brandon. It's the nature of the game, and to say that the refs, the game could be called tighter, but I don't think they're going to call every little ticky-tacky thing because it's going to take away the game. And like Ray Lewis alluded to this week, and I posted a video, the hit that the Bengals player hit Antonio Brown in the end zone, it was a legal hit, and that's what happens is because the refs, you see these injuries, that's part of the game, that they're gonna make atrocious calls to cost the game. And like Ray said, we're not – and I think someone else said it too. I think Ben said it, or I forget who said it, but it said, we're not there to watch you guys, you know, throw flags. We're there to watch the game itself and to let it transpire and let the players settle it. So I would hate the refs to get involved, because I was more – you should see me on my couch watching this game on Monday. You would think the Ravens were playing it, because I was yelling at the TV like it was our game and like the refs, because I'm like, the refs need to stay out of it. Like – you know, the hit, and everybody's making a light of the Juju hit. The Juju hit on Perfect, it was clean. It's just he stood over him, and that was why he suspended. He was suspended because of the hit. How many times has Hines Ward done that in his career against us? How many times, you know, it ain't no different than Ray Lewis hitting Dustin Keller over the middle on a pass. I mean, how many, you remember the vicious hit Ray Lewis let up when the field goal return on Monday Night Football way back when Chris McCoster returned that missed field goal for a touchdown. Ray Lewis lit that guy up. We sit here and praise, you know, Bart Scott for lighting up Ben Roethlisberger and Ray Lewis for doing his things and Ed Reed shoulder, you know, cramp, you know, the shoulder crunching tackles and but we're going to get on Juju. You know, there's a different taste, but I don't think the game's going to be policed. If it is, I'm going to be highly upset. Let this play out. Let the players play it out. This is a highly important game. But I do want to point the news, man. You have to feel for Shazier, man. I mean, football, the rivalries aside, this, I mean, even like Steve Smith, Ray Lewis, even the Ravens, send condolences. And dude, you got to feel for the guy, man. What a freak accident that happened.
Yeah, and of course, Ryan Shazier, our thoughts and prayers are with you. I know that they said that he is out of surgery now. They're working on his spinal cord.
I posted the update. Did you see it?
I haven't seen the most up-to-date thing. I know that he – I think he's resting in a hospital in Pittsburgh after a surgery on his spinal cord. No word yet on if he'll be able to play again. This was a freak accident, and something like this happens. You know, it does make you think it's not Ravens, Steelers. You know, it's human beings out there. So, of course, we're not going to wish any kind of ill will or anything like that on him. He's a
– No way.
He's a human. He's playing the game, and – unfortunately, some stuff like this happens when you play such a game like football. But hopefully we see him on the field again. We want nothing but good things to come to his way. So our thoughts and prayers are with you, Ryan Shazier. So since you brought up Shazier and we talked a little bit about Juju Smith, both of these guys will be missing the game on Sunday against the Ravens. What's going to be that impact, the fact that those two guys aren't on the field?
Oh, it's a huge impact. For one, it's one less target that Ben has to throw to. Now he's got Brown, and Brian Brown's already on the injury report with a toe. He played Monday night. He's been limited in practice, held out a couple of times, and it's going to limit these guys. I mean, they're still going to play, but it's one less weapon we have to worry about because we're already down in the secondary. So it's like, hey, one less guy to cover, great. Brown and Bryant pose a huge threat, and that cannot be understated. And they got Bell in the backfield, who's a huge weapon for him in the running and passing game, respectively. And on the defensive side, Shazier is almost equivalent as us losing Suggs or Mosley, or even worse. It's huge. And it's going to create a big gap in the middle of the field, and the Ravens have to attack. You know, you want to move on from, you know, the accident and what happened to, okay, well, what about personnel moves in the game plan itself? Well, the Ravens have to attack because we know with Jimmy Smith going down, and as the Lions showed the Steelers the blueprint, they're going to attack Marlon Brown early. And you know exactly what the Steelers are going to be, just like what the Patriots would do. Patriots go, who's your weak link? And we're going to go expose it and see if it works out. And that's what the Steelers are going to do. They're going to go, I expect the first play of the game for the Steelers offensively is probably a pass to Brian or Brown and target whoever Marlon's covering. I expect them to go to early and often. And then the Ravens, they need to attack the running game quick and hard because Collins needs to get it, man, because the Ravens need to get the running game going, only because it'll stop the pass not only for their offensive flow, but the Bengals showed the blueprint to beat the Steelers. They were gashing them in the run, and the Steelers had some mental lapses in coverage in the passing game, so it can work out. Steelers got lucky in winning that game again. As we knew, they were trailing virtually the whole game. If it wasn't for a stupid blunder call, the Bengals would have won that, because actually it was not a hold on that long play touchdown that was called back. But besides, the point was done is done. You can sit here and whine about it. But the game plan is attack the middle of the field, quick slants, and running.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk a little bit about Joe's targets here. Unfortunately, the injury report came out for Thursday, and two participants that for the Ravens that did not actually, I shouldn't say call them participants because they did not participate, but two Ravens did not participate in practice. That is Zardarius Smith and, unfortunately, Jeremy Maclin, who now is having a back issue. Before it was his shoulder, and then I think it was his hand. Now he's having a problem with his back. If Jeremy Macklin's not there on Sunday, I think they're going to be forced to play Breshad Perriman. So there kind of goes the wide receiver game. I don't think Joe's going to be able to pass it very often. And if he passes it to anybody, they're going to be short passes. So with Maclin potentially being out, what does that mean for Joe?
Well, again, you know, it's going to be a hard press to get the passing game going with not the weapons there. And, you know, just like Ben is down a weapon, it would be one less weapon for Joe to throw to. And it's going to hurt tremendously. I do not want to see Perriman in this game at all. I don't see him for the rest of the season. If we're going to make a run at this thing realistically, as far as a January football game, a playoff berth, you know, Perriman should not be involved in the passing game. He can't. You just got to shut him down. He's not. You know, Chris Moore's doing a way better job than a Perriman could ever provide. And I don't know where I have to go back in the ranks to see if Chris Moore was drafted, what round, but I'm sure it wasn't in the first two rounds, probably not even the first three. And when you draft a Perriman as high as you did, you had high hopes. You have to leave him as a bust at this point and move forward. And you know, Jeremy's got to be there. And I think, you know, all signs point to him playing. I don't see him not, but it remains to be seen come game time. Monitored over the weekend. I'll be posting updates as that comes out. But him holding out practice could be a good thing because you want him rested for Sunday night.
You definitely do. So, I mean, hopefully we do see Jeremy Maclin. Those are the only two guys on the injury report that are really of any note for the Ravens. So that's a good sign. One guy who's going to be back for this game that was not there the first time they met the Steelers this season is going to be Brandon Williams. Of course, we are all big Brandon Williams fans around here. What is going to happen to the Steelers offense with Brandon Williams there on the field? Because, man, they attacked that hole that he left last time around. And Le'Veon Bell, he went for, 144 yards and two touchdowns. I'm thinking with Brandon Williams there, he's not going to get that much.
No. It's going to be a huge play in the running defense for us because, and again, you alluded to in the losses that we had with Brandon out there. If we had had healthy receivers and a healthy Williams in the team that we have now, Danny Woodhead back and vice versa, obviously minus the Jimmy Smith injury. You look as a team as a whole, as far as health is concerned, we would have probably won another game or two. What you can sit there and say that, you know, replay the games all you want, but Brandon provides, and this is why we paid him, this is why we kept him. He provides that run stopping, you know, hard nosed defense and a big, big body to cover in the middle. And I feel like when he's gone, it just creates a free flow for a Bell or any other running back to just have his way on that game plan. And now it bodes well for us in our favor. It's one of our strengths, and we have to make the Steelers one dimensional at that point.
Absolutely. So
it's a must.
Yeah. of course, with this rivalry, there's two guys that are a huge part of that rivalry. That's Terrell Suggs and then Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger, he's been a little shaky at the beginning of the season, but he's definitely gotten better throughout this season, this year, and he's shown why he is such a mainstay in the NFL. He was a guy who was thinking about hanging it up, but he's been doing just absolutely fantastic the last couple games. Terrell Suggs, though, is kind of like, you know, Santa Claus and Krampus a little bit. He's like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger's shadow. He's always right behind him and planning to take him down if needed. So I don't want to call Ben Santa Claus, but anyway. So what kind of game do you think Terrell Suggs is going to have against the Steelers? He always shows up for these games. He loves playing the Steelers. And besides what kind of game you think he's going to have, Why does Terrell Suggs have to be absolutely perfect in this game against the Steelers?
Oh, dude, he's got to be on his point flawless. The reason why is because the Steelers are just good at what they do, man. And if you know the whole, you know, the game plan of how these two teams in the history, we know it. We know it inside and out. What's going to happen is if something's missed or Suggs misses it, not that Suggs is going to miss a tackle or a sack, but you got to make the plays because How many times have we seen Ben Roethlisberger get pressured? You try to bring the guy down. He doesn't go down. He extends a play with his legs, runs out of the pocket, and throws a 20-something yard pass to Antonio Brown on a 3rd-and-17, and it's a first down. Then they go down and score, and you're like, man, if we only got that tackle, you have to make the plays. And if they're right in front of you, you have to be sharp. And any team. I mean, we play the Browns next week, and if we do the same thing against the Browns, get lazy, miss tackles, they could beat us. I mean, any team could beat any team, you know, on any day, Monday, Thursday, Sunday, if, you know, the occasional Saturday, if they're not careful. And the Ravens, this is the biggest test, their biggest opponent right now before even a January game is even thought of. And it gets easier from here as far as games and records and who we're playing. But if they want to be taken seriously right now and show that this, you know, team isn't a fluke and their offensive output was a fluke and they can hang with Steelers, Suggs and company, they got to be on every play. And Ben Big Ben alluded to that. He asked about Suggs' relationship as far as professionalism. And he plays, he said, quote, the guy's flat out freak. And, you know, but there's a mutual respect there. And then we knew the whole, you know, the guy can have a soul, but he belongs to me kind of deal with the Suggs. And Suggs is the current active player, has the most sacks against Ben Roethlisberger right now. So, I mean, he owns him. So Suggs knows how to get after it. The last time we were up there, it's just it happens every time. We always see an incredible Suggs play on Ben, and I feel like he has to just continue the year he's having, put pressure on Ben, and put the big boy down where he belongs, especially on a third down big pass rush.
Now let's talk about our quarterback, Joe Flacco. Marty Morningwed came out and said that the reason why Joe has been so much better in the last couple weeks is because Joe feels good and Joe's healthy. So that is a good thing to hear.
He's eating W's.
Right. He's eating. Wait, did you see the video of him? Not. I saw the GIF of him eating the W. So, like, I saw him eating it, but then when I saw the actual video, my favorite part of that whole thing is the smirk after he does it to somebody off camera. Joe is such a – I mean, I feel like him and I have a very similar sense of humor where he's not going to go out and, like, have everybody, like, slapping their knees and rolling on the floor cracking up. But, like, there's, like, an inside joke between him and, like, three other people, and he exploits – what he does for a living to just make those like few people laugh, because he eats the W, looks off camera, and smirks at somebody, and that was my favorite part.
Well, did you hear? Yeah, Chad Steele even said, like, you know, you got to tell him what it is, and remember, he was like, they seen it, they know, and then he had to explain it anyway. But yeah, you're right. He chose Joe, and if you ever seen the the corny commercials with the was it the M&T Bank and the didn't Pizza he have Hut. Pizza Hut at one time?
Flacco's he had Pizza Hut. Oh, and God, he had so gummy bears, right?
Yeah, he was so bad. And it just keep going. And then I think it was another car commercial. I know he's an Alpaca Ford guy. That's one of his biggest sponsors. And he's just Joe's Joe. He's not going to light the world on fire with his jokes or his play. But when Joe's on, he's on. And yeah, as you've seen it, he had accolades this week for being the top rated quarterback over Blake Bortles by like a very marginal percentage point. So, I mean, you know, take it as it is. He just played well. His receivers, you know, accommodated that and caught the balls that needed to catch. So if Marty Morningwed alluded to that, if Joe, you know, if they can continue to call the game plan and put Joe in a position to win and put and call a great game, I feel like this offense can continue that momentum.
Yeah, this is not Joe's first time against Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. He is a veteran when it comes to these games. He knows how big they are. And we need Joe to show up. Like you alluded, this is a playoff game. Kind of from now on, it is. Because of where the Ravens sit right now, any W is going to help. So this is definitely a test. This is the first time they're really going to be going against a veteran quarterback. I mean, yes, Matt Stafford is a good quarterback, and he's done his job at the Detroit Lions, but Ben's been around a while, and this is an AFC opponent that the Ravens are used to seeing, so they should know what to expect. Joe should know what to expect, and we need to see January Joe in December, flat out.
Absolutely, and it's starting, and you know, everybody said that this week. You know, January Joe showed up a month early, and look out. I mean, we have 4 weeks left in the season. It's December football in the AFC North. I'm enjoying it. I'm fired up for this game. I mean, all week long, I've been reading quotes. I've been reading, you know, watching videos, and just I've been contemplating on going up there. I'm only not going only because I like to see what, you know, if, right now, I mean, the Ravens got to play the games, but if you put on paper and look at the favored matchups, the Ravens are 90% chance to make the playoffs. You have to feel pretty good about that, loving this team right now. I mean, you know, all the ups and downs this year of all the crap we had to endure, and this team is 7-5 on the brink of doing something great. They could lose on Sunday, drop to 7-6, but win their next three in a row, and you got 10 wins. I mean, we were thinking after we were 3-3 and then 4-3 and 4, and you know, looking at one game under 500, you're like 10 wins, and then now look at us. I mean, the Ravens still could go, you losing this game, go 3-1 down the stretch and still make the playoffs and have a lock on it. So not all is lost. I mean, this will go well. And if you want to, you know, help me out here, but obviously, you know, with the national media, I mean, if you want the love from them, you know, go out on Sunday Night Football on a national stage when everybody's watching, all the 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock games are played, all is left is a Monday night matchup with the Patriots and Dolphins. You want to go out there and have one of the best matchups. Look, what the Rams and the Eagles are doing in the NFC right now, how much of it is respect factor that we didn't get bumped out of that slate? There was talk that the Eagles and the Rams would have been featured on Sunday Night Football and the Ravens would have been moved to probably that 4 o'clock slot, but it was deemed that, no, they're keeping their 8:30 slot because, obviously, you know how it is later in the year, man. You know, if the teams are sucking, you know, the league has mandates to move those teams out of the late spot and put other matchups there so we're not stuck with watching a Jets-Bills game on a Sunday Night Football. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is, and I'm very excited that the league recognizes that, and it seems like, and I think the trend continues, at least one of the Ravens-Steelers games every year is always in prime time because it's the marquee matchup. Whether it's here, I think last year here it was Thursday Night Football. You know, this year it's Sunday night. There's always something, whether Sunday night, Monday night, or Thursday night, there's always a primetime game, and I feel like that should be a tradition. You want to talk about the Cowboys and Lions playing at home on Thanksgiving? I feel like one of the Ravens-Steelers games, and they should alternate every year. The Steelers should get one at home, and the Ravens should get a primetime at home the following year, and one of these games should be shown in a national spotlight primetime because it is one of those rivalries for the ages, and everybody loves to talk about it, no matter who's playing with these teams. And I brought up the nostalgia, man. I want to ask you, through the years of this rivalry, who are your I'm going to go – this is a two-part question, but answer the first one for me. Who are your – top most hated players that you just couldn't stand, and it could be current or it could be former Steelers that in this rivalry just you couldn't stand?
Hines Ward number one, Mike Vick number two.
Mike Vick, wow, I see, yeah, I know that.
God, who else? Troy Polamalu, you know. Ooh, yeah. I respect him, doesn't mean I have to like him.
Hall of Famer, yeah, exactly.
Those are probably my top three.
And that's what's funny about this rivalry, you know. 30 years I've learned to respect Big Ben because, I mean, freaking Haloti Ngata broke his nose and the guy was still playing football. I mean, if I go out and break your nose, are you going to work tomorrow? Probably
not. I'm going to cry.
You're going to cry and be in bed for a while. I mean, exactly. So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, the guy is tough as nails, and there's the respect for that. You know, do I hate him? Yeah, because I hate it when he made plays. And you're right. Hines Ward was up there. I alluded to it this week. Dude, how about I hate it when he smiled? Every time he smiled on TV, I almost want to break my TV. I'm like, stop smiling.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Every time we played, I'm like, can we just play good and just not smile off his face? I just hate it. He would get up. He'd get up, smile. Like, he would get hit, and he'd get up, smile. I'm like, at the end of his career, you have to appreciate that, but man, it almost made me want to strap up and go out there because it pissed me off.
Well, he said when he became a commentator, it was a Ravens-Steelers game. It was a primetime game, and he was one of the guys doing pregame, and he said, I flew into BWI, and there was this lady on the plane who went, you know, thanks for getting to Baltimore. Glad you're here, but I don't like you.
That's great. And you know how it is? I think it was him that actually said it. It was the AFC Championship game in 2008 when Flacco's rookie year and we went 11-5 and went all the way to that game and lost 24-13.
Right.
You had to feel good. Joe Flacco was driving, had the team in the position to win through the pick six of Polamalu, and that's where my hate for Polamalu came. And that's kind of where – that's where my hatred for the Steelers probably started to really start rising. I mean, it was always there, Joey Porter days and all that. But you know how I do that Heinz product ban?
Oh, yeah. No ketchup.
It took off It was 2010. 2010. But remember when we had the divisional game there and we were up 21-7.5 and Todd Heap caught that touchdown and we had a 2-touchdown lead on them and they came back and won 31-24. It was that game to where I was so upset at that game because I'm like, oh my God. And more so because it just added to the rivalry. And it was like that game irked me so much that I'm like, nope, I don't have nothing to do with them. Like, I was like, no, I can't stand them. And everybody's got their little nuances. And people, you know, they always make fun of me for that, but people appreciate it. And I've actually had a few people join in on the phone on that because I'm like, steal a week, no Heinz ketchup, Heinz Field. And my mom, you have to appreciate my mom. She would purposely, when I was living at home, go to the grocery store. She would buy Hunt's instead of Heinz because I was like, nope, I'm not eating. And she would think I'm crazy, but and then she kind of like, you know, accepted it and was like, I get why you're doing. I'm like, no, Steelers week, we're not using Heinz ketchup. And I would eat my hot dogs with no condiments on it if it had to mean no Heinz ketchup for Steeler week. So, might call me crazy, but it's something I just learned to custom over the day. And that's when it started. It was that 2010 playoff game. My good friend Ryan, we had the restaurant that we our home base that we always watch away games at. And when the Steelers lost, he had the Heinz ketchup on the table. And I think we ordered food at that time, and he like chalked it and said, get this crap out of here. And then ever since then, it was like it started. It was like, nope, no more Heinz products, no. Because it was just like that point, I just couldn't stand it. And, you know, it's learned to grow and over the years. It's fun. And I want to ask you the second question. What is your best moment, you know, from a game, like whether it's a Ravens win or – you know, obviously, maybe it's a Ravens loss. Maybe it was like they sent me the game, but or a moment, maybe a play. Reaching back into the history of this rivalry, what play stands out at you in this rivalry?
I think my favorite Ravens moment against the Steelers is Joe and Torrey Smith. And it was the end of the game. It was a night game. And Joe chucks it up in the air to Torrey. Torrey misses it. Torrey comes back to the huddle and goes, do it again. Throw it to me again. And Torrey catches the ball, slides into the end zone, last second or two, and boom, the Ravens win the game. I think it was Joe's first time beating the Steelers with Ben in Pittsburgh. And that one always stuck with me. And then there was the game where Ben
I thought it was the Hushmanzada game. Maybe it was that one.
That's the other
one. That was probably the first one.
That was without Ben. That was my second memory there when Joe went just marching down the field and was able to get a pass off to Hushmanzada because that was a 1 o'clock game. That was during the day, and they were able to win. But that was Joe's first win in Pittsburgh, but Ben wasn't there. This night one with Torrey was up against Ben, and I think that's what really solidified a lot of people as Joe Flacco being an elite quarterback.
I have to share my sentiment on that because I always watch that drive. And remember, I always say this. I don't care how many years ago, how many months ago, how many games ago. He don't Flacco all you want. You know, Kyle Bowler ain't going to lead no team in Pittsburgh 96-yard drive with, what, 2 minutes left or maybe even less than that with no timeouts. I think it was no timeouts and lead him right down the field. So, I mean, no, I hate him, Joe's Joe. And that drive, man, I actually have that signed picture by Torrey, the game-winning catch. It's up in my Ravens office. And, you know, it stands true, man, because it was like, you're right, he led him down the field. It was, you know, you can pull up the drive on YouTube. It's 96 yards. Led him right down the field. There was big plays after big plays. I mean, there was a huge third down play that happened. And I think it was a Bolden or a Dennis Pitta catch, if I'm not mistaken. And kept the drive going, a game winner in Pittsburgh. But my greatest memory stands out in the last time the Ravens actually were in the playoffs, 2014. I was at the wild card game. I had a chance. It was the week of. I got a phone call from my good friend say, hey, we're going to Pittsburgh. No fans or butts. You want to go? And I swore to you, Brandon, I swore to you, I was like, I pledged allegiance to it. I was like, I'm never stepping foot in Pittsburgh. I'm never going to that stadium. They're trash. Blah. And I kind of put my hand this side. I said, you know what? I'm going deep in enemy territory. I want to root my team hard, whether we win, lose, or draw. You know, we can't draw in the playoffs. But looking at it, I was like, no, I'm going. We took the bus trip. we went to Pittsburgh for the wild card game. It was Polamalu, who's technically last year, he's retiring. The Steelers already won the division. We were going there as a wild card team. You know, the Steelers, AFC, no chance. We went in there and we won the game 20-17. That was the game that Suggs caught that interception in between his knees and Cracker Gilmore got that last touchdown to solidify it. And I remember the emotions finally hit, because of course, me being subdued in enemy territory, I didn't want to act a fool. I didn't want to do anything to, like, you know, irk the fans or start shaking the cage. I kind of, like, you know, I still had my excitement. About 5 minutes left in the game and the fans were leaving. I'm like waving to them bye bye and seeing the stadium empty out, and we did that. But when I finally got back to the bus and took my gear off and high fived all the fans and let out a big scream, I sat there and I just was welled up with tears of excitement, emotion. Like, and I looked at my buddy and I'm like, we friggin' did it, man. I was like, we rode the bus to Pittsburgh. We watched our team one knock the Steelers out, one and done the playoffs, division champs. It didn't matter, and that was our first ever win in Pittsburgh in the playoffs, and I'll never forget that moment ever in my life, man. It was something special, and that's something that really made me excited to want to go this weekend. But again, you know, I'm seeing what kind of matchups we can have in the playoffs. If we end up going to Kansas City or maybe Jacksonville, I might be tempted or even wait, because you know the date with New England or Pittsburgh is going to be next. So yeah, I'm almost like hopeful that, hey, maybe we can talk divisional playoffs and I can go in that second round and we can go. So I might say I hold off, but I'd rather go to the – because like I said, I'm going to the last two season finales. I got season tickets, you know, the co-season finale and the season finale at home, you know. So I might just enjoy that and then see what the playoffs bring.
All right, so Josh, before we get out of here, last question. The Steelers are perfect right now against their division rivals this season. Do they stay that way after Sunday?
Oh, man. It is so hard for me to pick the Ravens in this game. You know, I chalk this up as, you know, obviously looking at it as a loss. Given the way they're playing, both streaks are going to – one of the streaks is going to stop. The Steelers are on a 7-game winning streak, albeit they've been lucky a few games. They've been shaky. I feel like they're overachievers, but that's my opinion. You know, they're the weakest 10-2 team out there. I don't care what your record is. I mean, you're trailing the Bengals virtually the whole game. You get some help from some calls with the refs, and you kick a field goal with seconds left. They kicked a field goal with seconds left against the Colts. It was the same thing. Bengals were winning 17-3. The Colts were beating them 17-3, and the Packers were going back and forth with them, and they beat them at the last minute. I mean, yeah, wins are wins, and yeah, New England's got Super Bowl championships, but being last minute kick, you know, field goals, but you know, you can't take that away from them. But it's like, you look at the Steelers, I'm like, the Patriots are blowing people out of the way. They're not trailing in these games. The Patriots, either if they start trailing, they get ahead and stay ahead. The Steelers, it's like they trail the whole game, and then last 2 minutes of the game, they find a way to win. And I'm like, you know, to me, the Ravens have the formula to beat them. I have to take the Steelers by three only because it's in their house. I feel like this is the Ravens' one sole loss that they can learn from. I feel like the Ravens played well. I still feel like the Ravens will take out of football with new turnovers. I feel like they're going to get a couple takeaways. I definitely going to pick the Ravens as a loss in this one. I'm going to say 20-17 Pittsburgh. Again, I hope they prove me wrong, but the next three games are softballs, so obviously, you know, I can predict wins in all three of those. You got Cleveland, Colts, and Bengals. The Bengals game at the end there is going to be a hard fought one, but given that's the season finale, seeing what the Ravens are now. Again, I believe – correct me if I'm wrong, man. I have to go back in the vault here and listen to the show, but I cannot remember. Did I pick the Lions last week? I think I did. I think I was like, yeah, this is one of those games. But they came out and impressed me. So, you know, this is a way the Steelers, Ravens, you know, always lives up to the billing. And the Ravens aren't afraid to go in Heinz Field, but I just feel like – the Steelers are just riding that hot train, but who never knows what can happen. And this team is equipped to beat them. I would not be surprised. You know, obviously my heart's purple and black. They're going to win. But if I have to sit here and make a hard pick, and, you know, if I had to put money on it, it's going to be Pittsburgh all the way. In a hard close billing at 20-17 is my final prediction. But let's see what happens on Sunday night, brother. How about you?
All right. Well, first off, even though it is great that they get a primetime national game, does it have to be during the Walking Dead midseason finale killing me there.
DVR it, man. Come on. Don't be that guy.
I know.
Be that guy.
I know. But look, if Jimmy Smith was healthy and Jimmy Smith was in this game, I'd probably be picking the Ravens. But Big Ben is going to have a field day with Marlon Humphrey. He is going to be all over him. So I definitely, unfortunately, I have to pick the Steelers as well. Normally, the Ravens and Steelers split games and they each get a win. The Steelers already have theirs. So, I mean, all signs should point to the Ravens winning this one. But without Jimmy Smith and potentially without Jeremy Maclin, I think the offense is kind of strapped and they don't really have that many weapons that they're going to be able to use. Yes, they have Mike Wallace and they have Alex Collins. But, you know, the Steelers know that, too. And they're going to be covering those guys like crazy.
Absolutely, so, man.
Unfortunately, I think that the Ravens are going to come up a little bit short here. And I think that's going to be it, unfortunately. I mean, maybe we will see another Steelers-Ravens game at the beginning of 2018. Who knows? But for these two games in Heinz Field, yeah, I think this is a Steelers win for them. I think they're going to stay perfect in their division divisional games, and the Ravens are going to come up short. So, sorry to bum you guys out, but, you know, sometimes you win some, you lose some. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
Man, Steelers week, we got this one, quote the Raven, nevermore.
If you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we are always sharing anything related Ravens. It doesn't matter what it is. Something Raven goes on, we find out about it, we let you guys know. So go like us over on Facebook. Now, if you are locally here in the Maryland area, watch Maryland Public Television on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock and watch Maryland Farm and Harvest. It is a show I get to be the editor on, and it's a lot of fun learning about the farming industry in Maryland, the farming culture in Maryland. All around a very good show. I've been very lucky to be able to work on that. But it airs on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock on Maryland Public Television. I think we're up to the fifth episode now. If you missed the first four, you can go to video.mpt.tv. and watch them there. So that is pretty much it, which, by the way, there is a potato in Southern Maryland they did a story on that is purple all the way through. I want to get one of these purple potatoes for a tailgate because, man, what doesn't say Baltimore Ravens than a purple potato grown in Southern Maryland? But anyway,
yeah,
so that is it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much as well. And here we are, guys, December football. And couldn't get any better. This right in the meat of the schedule at the tail end here. And here it is. It's Ravens Steelers. We know what this game means. We know what it's about. We can talk about the rivalries and the games of past, but what's right now is the present. And it's the Steelers at 10-2, Ravens at 7-5. Ravens are riding high, but a 3-game winning streak, man. It feels great. It just feels great to enjoy winning football. You know, with the back and forthness of this year and the Steelers, man, they're red hot. You know, if it snowed, it wouldn't even snow in Pittsburgh because they're red hot, melting it away. And right now, as it stands, again, you know, not all is lost if we lose, you know, but the Ravens are, as I always covered it during the podcast, the Ravens are equipped basically to beat Pittsburgh and to beat New England. And it doesn't come as a surprise that this team has 29 takeaways in the NFL, where what happened in the 2014 playoffs, they were exposed in secondary, and they had two touchdown leads and blew it. And there's a reason why we blew it. I remember the Monday night game last season, New England. We lost to a long touchdown at the end, lost 30 to 23. What happened when me and Brandon were watching that Christmas night game? It was so awesome. You check across the goal line, Ravens are up. Oh, this is glorious. And then what happened? Nope. Antonio Brown extended the ball across the goal line with seconds left of the spare and ruined our celebration for Christmas night at that point. So, and what did the Ravens address? They addressed that in the draft. They said, you know what? Fine. We've lost all these games in those kind of fashions. We've scored the points we need to score. We're going to go draft that way. And fortunately, we've seen that with the Jimmy Smith injury, that we have Marlin, obviously, up and coming. We have a few hands on deck. We signed Brandon Carr. We have Ladarius Webb. We have Tony Jefferson, Eric Weddle. We have the manpower to get it done. How about Anthony Devine stepping up? And I feel like these guys can get it done in a great effort. And I can't wait till this war. I've always said it's wartime when these teams get together, and I tweeted out this week, why are the Ravens Steelers on prime time? It's time to put the kids to bed, because this is not for the faint of heart. This is it's not going to be bone crushing like the Steelers Bengals, but you already know what we're getting. These two teams don't like each other. There's respect there, but they're going to get each and every best effort, and they're going to leave it all on the outfield, and they want to come out high in Heinz Field with that W85. And hey, who knows? Hopefully they can prove me and Brandon's picks wrong, and most of the pundits that are picking this game wrong. And will Joe Flacco be eating another W at Heinz Field? We will cover that and more at the aftermath on the Red Eye Review. Enjoy your weekend. Get ready, because as Kerry Wood always sings, Sunday night, it's going to be a Ravens night. Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.